Look to Assyria, once a Lebanon cedar. Beautiful branches, dense shade, towering height. It is top among the clouds. Springs nourished it, and deep waters made it grow tall. Their streams flowed around its base, sending their channels to all the trees in the countryside. So it towered high above every other tree of the field. Its boughs grew larger and its branches extended out, nourished by an abundance of water. All the birds of the air nested in its boughs. Under its branches, wild animals gave birth to their young. All the great nations thrived in its shade. It was majestic in its beauty, with its spreading boughs, its roots reaching deeply into an abundance of water.
Well, I stepped out on the front porch. It's one of the gifts of this time of year, is just to be able to walk outside and just to step outside, not think a bit about if it's going to be too cold or anything like that. And so I did that. I stepped out on the front porch and there was the open sky above me. Now, I've lived in Montana and Texas where they say the sky is big. Montana's nickname is Big Sky Country. And to be honest, I never really understood that, you know, where people said, well, the sky is really big here. And I thought, well, you know, the sky is big everywhere, isn't it? I mean, every place you go, the sky is big. And that's how it was the other day. I just looked up and the sky just seemed so expansive. It was like looking up into the rafters of a big cathedral. If you've ever been in a big historic old cathedral where the building itself is meant to call you into worship and to wonder, just to step inside, and you can't help but just feel the sense of wonder. And that's how I felt as I looked up at the sky. It was just, you know, it was like the clouds seemed like a cathedral ceiling and they were floating along in this slow majesty, so big and beautiful. And then the blue sky beyond that. And for a moment, I was lost in the gaze of the extraordinary. For a moment, it was just a pause and take it in kind of moment. And I thought, here this is, this beautiful vision, but it's here all the time. But I thought, but right now I'm finally seeing it. And our little guy was out there with me and he asked me, he said, Daddy, what you doing? And I said, you know, I just said, I'm looking at the sky. And for a moment, I was lost in the contemplation of the beauty of the world. Now, those moments are there for us all of the time. I mean, they're just there all of the time. You see the beauty in a child's face. You just take in the beauty of a little child's face, so innocent and fresh and beautiful, and you think, how wonderful, how beautiful. Are the disciples preacher Fred Craddock, he talked about the what it looks like to, after everything is covered with a fresh new snow. And I realize that's not the time of year we're in, but you can think the winter time. And he talked about seeing a trash dumpster, which one day is just a trash dumpster, just, you know, nothing that we would usually think of as beautiful. But all of a sudden, as it's covered with inches of snow, he says it becomes a mound to the glory of God. You know, those beautiful moments are there all the time. Or just a flower. I mean, just not, I'm not talking about the beautiful florist arrangement, but just a normal flower, which we see springing up in little places here and there. It can be so beautiful. The poet Gerard Manley Hopkins, he said to me, the meanest flower, and when he says meanest, he doesn't mean like mean and angry, but in the sense of average, you know, the mean, you know, the most average flower. He says, to me, the meanest flower that blows can give thoughts that often lie too deep for tears. I love that. Just the simplest flower can draw up thoughts that are even deeper than the thoughts that bring up tears. I was reading something where the writer said that the world is too beautiful to be ignored. I love that. The world is too beautiful to be ignored. Now, the question for us is, can we learn something about God from the beauty of the world? Is there a connection with God that's found simply in the beauty that's all around us? We Protestant Christians, we zeroed in solely on the Bible. Martin Luther, our founder, he said, sola scriptura. That was his phrase, which meant only scripture. And there were reasons why he did that. There was corruption at the church in the time, and he wanted to stand upon the authority of scripture and that alone. And so he said that. But I wonder sometimes we Protestant Christians that we forgot something in our insistence on the Bible. And what we forgot is that God's first word to us was creation. God's first word to us was not a book dropped in our laps, but let there be light. God's first word to us is the created world, a creation of beauty. And we're going to talk about that for a few weeks, this notion that God is beguiled by beauty. Now, this seems, I realize, kind of strange for us to talk about right now, because you would probably very easily say that this has not been a beautiful time for us. It's been a hard time, hasn't it? If you on January 1st of this year, if you were thinking, well, what does the year 2020 look like for me? It wouldn't be this, would it? I mean, everything closed for a time, and still so much that's kind of locked up. 100,000 lost in death to the virus. We're still dealing with an uncertain future. We're thinking, where will this take us? What does the future look like? We still don't know. And then George Floyd. You know, I think a lot of things in our country will be judged by before or after George Floyd. I know for me, just speaking personally, for me, and I've talked about, I wrote about this in the newsletter, there was sort of a breaking point for me in watching that video of his death. I watched that and I thought, I don't know how anyone could be okay with this. And the fact that it was not a split second decision, it was not somebody making a decision in a split second, but that cop had his knee on his neck for 8 minutes and he's pleading for his life, and people around him are pleading for his life as well. And, you know, I watch that and I'm still affected by it. I'm still troubled in my heart by it. And so I get it. You know, I get it when I see crowds in the street saying we need change in our country. And yes, we can say that looters are hurting the cause. We can say that, and that's right. But we still can't ignore the pain that's at the heart of the protests. And so, you know, we say we've got to do something. We have to be different. So it seems like a strange time, doesn't it, to talk about beauty? There's so much that's difficult right now. There's so much that's hard right now. And it almost sounds to me, you know, like I'm saying, well, let's just go look at the flowers and ignore the hardship of the world. But that's not what I'm saying. Hear what I'm saying. Here's what I believe, though, that beauty is a doorway to compassion and action. Now, our scripture reading, which we heard today, is from the book of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel is trying to make a point about the nation of Assyria. And Ezekiel uses this metaphor of a tree. And we saw that in that beautiful video. And Ezekiel kind of gets carried away in his meditation. He's trying to make the point about how great the nation of Assyria once was. And he uses the tree as a metaphor for that. But it's almost like he gets lost in the description of that big, beautiful tree. He describes beautiful branches and dense shade and a towering height. And he says waters nourished that tree and streams flowed around it and birds made their nest there and the beasts of the field lived in its shade and it became beautiful. And God says, you know, I made it so. And as for its beauty, God says, I made it so. And for a moment, it's like Ezekiel gets lost in the contemplation of the beauty of that image of that tree. And we saw that in that beautiful video we watched, that towering picture of beauty. When we give ourselves to that, when we take in the beauty God has given to us, and let me say, not like our culture thinks of beauty. You know, if you were to do an internet search, of a Google search, and you would just put in beautiful and see that what it would draw up, you know, then you see lots of pictures of younger, what our culture considers attractive women. You know, usually we think beautiful, that's what beautiful is. But I think beauty is so much bigger than that. And what I mean by beauty is beauty and God's blessedness. Some of you might remember that song from Ray Stevens from so many years ago, Everything is Beautiful. And the chorus is, I love the chorus. It says, everything is beautiful in its own way, like a starry summer night or a snow-covered winter's day. Everybody's beautiful in their own way. Under God's heaven, the world's going to find a way. I love that sense of everything and everyone is beautiful in their own God blessedness. And when you spend time, I believe, when you spend time appreciating beauty, I believe it cultivates compassion in your heart. When you're drawn into God's creativity, God's beauty, God's compassion, when you're drawn into God's heart in the contemplation of beauty, then you can't help but be compassionate and good to others. When I looked out on the front porch the other day and I saw the sky, and that moment moved me to that sense of wonder and just, well, I was lost in that sense of wonder. Did I then just kind of want to go on and say, well, I don't care about the suffering of the world now? Well, no. I cared more. I saw how beautiful the world is, how beautiful things could be. I saw how beautiful the heart of God is at that moment. And like taking in that tree from Ezekiel, you know, that tree that's fed and nourished by the waters of life that are around us all, you know, when we're fed and nourished by God's waters of life, then we can't help be good to the world around us. And the problem is we get so far away from that. We get caught up in our own stuff. We get caught up in our own nonsense. We get so far from the heart of God. And when we do, we begin to believe the lies of the world that things don't have worth and value, that we are not worth a value, that caring isn't worth anything. When we get so far away from the gospel of God so loved this beautiful world, and when we do, we forget that our black and brown sisters and brothers who are crying out for mercy and justice, we forget about them. You know, we forget that they are part of God's beautiful world and deserve dignity and respect and justice. We begin to, you know, when we do that, we begin to get comfortable with death. And that's been my worry over these last few months, that as people struggled with the virus and struggling and out of work and struggling to know what tomorrow will bring, my fear was that we would just get comfortable with death, with the dying. But when we spend time in the beauty of the Lord, it's like we're drawn back in to how beautiful and how precious everything is, and how valuable everything is, and how valuable everyone is. So here's my job for you this week. Spend a little time each day in beauty. And we're going to give you here later in our worship service, we're going to give you something that you can do to do that. But take 10 minutes, like I did on the porch that day. You know, set aside the phone. Just be quiet. Just breathe. Just take in the beauty of the world. If you do, if you give yourself to the beauty of God's beautiful world, you might be surprised, beguiled by the beauty of God's beautiful world God has given to us. Amen.